Columbus.
Good evening, I'm Jacob Reimer. Jake Diebler added to the roster for next season today in the transfer portal, adding Justin Pippen from Cal. As a sophomore last year, Pippen averaged 14.2 points per game and led the team in assists at 4.6 per game. He is also the son of NBA legend Scottie Pippen. Round two of the Masters is underway at Augusta National. Defending champion Rory McIlroy is still at the top of the leaderboard, currently at 8-under. He's one shot clear of Patrick Reed, who is at 7-under. Tommy Fleetwood and Sam Burns are both two back at 6-under. In baseball, the Reds look to snap a two-game skid tonight at Great American Ballpark, hosting the Los Angeles Angels. First pitch is at 6:45, and the Guardians are in Atlanta taking on the Braves. They get things started tonight at 7:15. This update sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling, together to serve you better. Schedule today at thewaterworks.com. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Up for Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
Don't let that team steal it away.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going. Devin Smith got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh! And Grand Rucker for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3. Yes!
This is the Buckeye Show.
Oh, you made it. A beautiful Friday edition of the Buckeye Show right here on The Fan. Matt Fontana, Patrick Murphy, Jacob Reimer with you tonight. Full 2 hours on the docket. We'll take you up to 8 o'clock. If there's awkward pauses, it's because I'm staring at the Masters leaderboard. But they'll be done soon. That's okay. Plenty to get to on tonight's show. We'll update you as the Masters as we go on. Busy day out at spring ball. Obviously, Murph has been there. Carlos Lachlan spoke. The running back room. Murph, he had a quote that I found super interesting about the backfield for the Buckeyes coming up. Huge news on the basketball side of things with a transfer coming in. We'll talk all that with Adam Jardy coming up at 7:30. We also have Dan Hope from 11 Warriors. He'll join us coming up for Beers and Buckeyes at 6:30. Murph, Reimer, gentlemen, happy Friday. How you doing?
Good. It's been a busy week. 1 week left before the spring game next Saturday. So busy stuff, but good busy.
It always is. Reimer, I got to appreciate you. And if everybody's not following Reimer on Twitter, they should at Rhyme Time, because all that I picked up.
I appreciate the plug there.
Because, big news today, obviously, with the Buckeyes and getting a Hall of Fame name to come from Columbus. So I sit there and I'm like, all right, I know he's Scottie Pippen's son. Is he good? Like, what's going on? And if I would say anything about it, I'd just be regurgitating your tweets about it. So I appreciate you for keeping me updated on things.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was playing for Cal last year. This is Justin Pippen that committed today for Jake Diebler to be on the roster next year. And he was playing at Cal next year. And you guys know that I'm a Carolina fan. So I was up for the late night games that Carolina had to play out west this year against Cal. And he had 19, 4-5 in that game.
ACC just makes, perfect sense.
Exactly. It really does. Yeah, it really does.
And we start there tonight because with Justin Pippen coming in, Murph, I really do look at it and say this is something that's a huge get for the Buckeyes. There were a lot of people that said this was really smart. Depending on what John Mobley does, he has already said he's going to kind of test the waters in the NBA. If not, he will return. And I want what's best for John, but I also think about, man, if he did return, what a backcourt that could be potentially starting. For the Buckeyes, they've had a couple different players transfer out. Gabe Cupps is moving out. So there's a real need there, and especially when your front court at this point seems to be pretty set. This could be huge for the Buckeyes. I mean, it already is getting Justin Pippen here, but if you can get John Mobley to come back too, I think that'd be an amazing offseason for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, it's certainly a good place to start, right, with getting that backcourt settled after you lose a guy like Bruce Thornton. I believe Mobley's coming back. Like, obviously, he's going to see what's out there, but like just reading the tea leaves and having seen so many guys like him go through this. Usually, unless you're, a lock to be taken, they go through it once, maybe twice, before actually pulling the trigger. So I think Mobley will be back. I think this is going to be your starting backcourt. And then, it's a question of how does it fit? You know, what can Pippen sort of build on? You know, he went from scoring 1.6 points per game at Michigan to 14.2, which is...
Yeah, this is the reverse Roddy Gale.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Quite the jump there. Now, you know, I know there's been some people, I've seen it, detractors on this move. He only shot 37% from the field, 32.7% from three. So, look, there's got to be some progression, no doubt about this. But this is a guy who's played in a major conference, you know, played for a Cal team that I think won, what, 22 games last year?
Yeah, they were an NIT team.
Yeah. So, you know, is it the giant splash that maybe some people were hoping for? No. But I think maybe some of the names that have been thrown around with Ohio State may have been a bit unrealistic given kind of what the Buckeyes are coming. You got to build it, right? It doesn't just happen overnight. So I think this is a good start, and there's plenty of room to continue to build this roster.
I think it's a strong fit with Mobley, because I'm with you, Pat, on I think Mobley will be coming back, and I feel like Pippen is really good with the ball in his hands on ball. You see him in a lot of like pick and roll actions, and so having a guy like that can be a lead guard allows Mobley to kind of run off screens and get looks that way. And for the sharpshooter he is, I feel like you want that.
Yeah.
And I know we want to see Mobley a little bit more as a creator, but you gotta capitalize on what he's most lethal at. And that's the firearm that he has on his right hand. So I feel like it's going to be a nice fit. He's a really strong defender. I think only averaged 0.76 points per possession as a defender. So he's a really strong defender. He's got some good length. I think it's a strong pickup to start the portal process.
Yeah, and you add in, you know, sort of the defensive pedigree of his dad, you know,
for sure. The
family in general with Scottie Pippen Jr. I think the idea that you need a point guard is changing at Ohio State, and I think it's changed in basketball just in general. A lot of guys are going to handle the ball next year. You know, Mobley you mentioned, but Bynum's going to want touches. Like, and I don't just mean like feet, you know, he needs to evolve into a guy who can create a little bit for himself or for others. You know, Thompson, when he gets here, he's going to want the ball a little bit. Maybe not as much. He will have to settle into a role, but I don't think you're going to see it like we saw for most of Bruce's career. And we did see that change a little bit last year with Mobley handling a little bit more and Bruce playing off the ball. I don't think you're going to be like, that's the point guard. That's the guy that brings the ball up all the time. So I think, you know, they're expecting this to be sort of a handle by committee. And, you know, just because you've got two guards doesn't mean one has to be the guy who does it all the time.
And I do think him coming here helps John Mobley with his decision, because that's going to help John Mobley look even better. I understand to your guys' point, which you're right, like there might be not as many touches, but that could give John Mobley a chance to be off ball a little bit more and kind of change things up. And exactly what you're talking about, Murph, like there is nobody that's just bringing the ball up the court every single time, and it's going to change some things. And I'll fall back on this, and I feel like it's certainly this way for football, and I do think it applies to basketball. It helps your stock when you're on a good team. It just helps your stock when it comes to the next level, when you're on a good team, when you're on a better team. There's no way.
And when you have a name like Pippen on the roster.
Yeah, that doesn't help. You know, that doesn't hurt either. It absolutely.
Can we get Scotty at some of these games?
I'm sure he's going to have to come hang out. You know, he'll be there. I don't know how he couldn't be. I don't know why. It just made me think about how, like, Jake should call Bryce James and be like, hey, what's going on? Come on down. You know, we're building something over here. Come on down. Scotty and LeBron just hanging up courts.
Just anybody tamper else, a little bit.
You know, anybody else have any other NBA Hall of Famers with kids in the... I know the Boozer, Carlos Boozer, wasn't a Hall of Famer, and his kids are going to the draft.
I mean, if Caden hits the portal, then
yeah,
then
Caden might
him.
Hit the portal. Why don't we just make that the strategy for Ohio State?
Well, Pat, you were mentioning the touches, and that's important because, yes, Bynum and Thompson, and because of this addition, I know Rob Wright's name was being thrown out there as a point guard, and he's a guy that averages 18 points a game. So like he's a guy that's going to want a lot of touches too. So this,
and money.
Yes, that is true. This gives me hope that the big splash is going to be at the five spot, and you get a stretch five or a guy that can fill that starting center spot. And because of this, you're going to get a guy that can spread the ball out with Justin Pippen here.
Here's the thing, I think, when you say big splash, like I think we need to put that in perspective.
Yeah.
Because if you, like for us talking about it, for me writing about it, for fans, like big names are great. Did that work out with Aaron Bradshaw and Sean Stewart?
No.
No, it didn't. And so I know that Jake Diebler and his staff have learned from that a little bit. Now, you know, you want the best possible players, but they also want the fit. And that means fit in the offense, fit on the defense, but also fit culturally, fit in the locker room. And so sometimes that's not always the sexiest name, right? I mean, even just look at Michigan's roster this year. A year ago, were we talking about all of those guys the same way we are now?
For some reason, Mick Cronin was not using Adimara.
Yeah. Well, and even like Merez Johnson Jr., you know, a guy who visited Ohio State, liked Ohio State. Like, he was sort of a limited player at Illinois, you know, athletic and whatnot. You know, I think that it was a good class, but I don't know if everyone was like, man, this is the home run. You know, they're going to win the national championship out of the gates, right? It took a while for people to start really jumping on. So you've got to get talent, but you've got to get the fit too. And I think that is something that's really important. And I don't think we can stress enough the defense that this will bring, a kind of a point of attack defender that they've, you know, Bruce could do that a little bit, but they've sort of lacked that guy who's your primary on ball guy defensively.
Other basketball news today announced that the season opener will be against BYU in a non-conference game. Cougars 23-12 last year, became a six seed but fell to Texas in an upset in the first round of the tournament. So, you know, Murph, it's like, it's not really a warm up, you know, per se for the Buckeyes, but it's also, you know, just no disrespect to the Cougars. It's not like you're going to play Michigan game one or anything like that.
No, but it will be a bigger test. It's kind of like 2 years ago where they played Texas at a neutral site. This won't be exactly a neutral site because you're playing in Utah.
There is a return game to Ohio in a future season.
So I know I asked about that when the report came out, and I couldn't get anyone to confirm that was for sure happening. But I'm not saying the report's wrong. I'm just saying I couldn't get it confirmed from anyone over there. So that would make more sense if you're going to do something similar. But I couldn't report on that because I didn't know for sure.
Now, for BYU, you're not going to have A.J. DeBanza on the other side.
Or
Rob Wright, that's true. But BYU is still a team that's going to have a lot of resources in this transfer portal cycle. Like, they're still going to have a really solid squad going into it. Have no idea what it is right now because we're fresh into this, but with the resources they're able to have, I mean, they brought in A.J. DeBanza, of all the people. They brought in Rob Wright, like, they're going to have a solid squad. So it's going to be a nice test to open the season for sure.
It is. And again, with the building back up for Ohio State, good transfer portal this offseason, you're right back on a national, quote unquote, national stage. It'll be a big game to start the season off and get things turned around. Well, for the Buckeyes on the football side of things, youth is very important. There was no more, in my opinion, youthful position for Ohio State last year than that running back room. We know about Bo Jackson, Isaiah West, and crew. We heard from Carlos Lachlan. He said it's not just those two guys returning for the Buckeyes that he trusts. We'll discuss that all coming up. It's Buckeyes Show right here on The Fan.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
Hello.
Has more all-wheel drive or electrified hybrid choices than Toyota, including the roomy, built in the USA Grand Highlander. Now through May 4th, get 4.99 APR financing on any new 26 Grand Highlander. Or lease a new Grand Highlander Hybrid XLE for $459 a month for 36 months with $39.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS, tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Save time, reduce costs, and eliminate printer frustrations with Modern Office Methods, your award-winning managed print services provider. We know how to help your business reduce the cost of office printing by identifying necessary print and paper waste. We can improve your printer fleet and decrease the amount of printer frustration. Why wait? Start saving time and money today. Start with our comprehensive print fleet assessment by going to momnet.com and click on free assessment.
Inside the body, cancer divides, but inside the James, we unite. With nearly 300 cancer specialists, each focused on a single type of cancer, and over 1,500 researchers, relentlessly pursuing new discoveries and sparking new hope. So if you just heard the words, you have cancer, you should know this. We heard them too. And there's no better team in the nation to create a cancer-free world. The James at Ohio State.
Already prepping for next week's matchup? Get your best rest yet with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's and choose from Pillow Soft plush dual feel and extra firm mattresses with Bob-O-Pedic memory foam that will have you dreaming of game day in no time. So shop in-store or online to score the latest in affordable luxury mattresses without the luxury price tag. Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer.
The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by the Waterworks.
Daily on the Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your home of the Buckeyes,
the Fan.
Enjoy more ways to save at Kroger, like low prices in every aisle. And when you download the Kroger app, you can clip and save more with digital coupons every week. Plus, you can earn fuel points to save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. At Kroger, you can enjoy more ways to save and more rewards every time you shop. So it's always easy to save big every day with savings and rewards. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply. See site for details.
Abbott in the Big Ten. 18 schools. One blood drive competition with a life-saving purpose. We give blood. This season, your one donation helped save up to three lives. And together, we saved over 200,000. But the need for blood never stops. So keep your sleeves rolled up. Keep giving blood. Keep saving lives. Visit BigTen.org/Abbott. Donate.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll look for a few showers early tonight across central Ohio, and then skies will clear overnight into Saturday morning. Overnight lows in the middle 40s. On Saturday, a lot of sunshine across central Ohio and high temperatures in the middle 60s. On Sunday, morning sun, some afternoon clouds, and warm. I'm forecasting 83 for the high. The record is 86. On Monday, some thunderstorms will rumble across the area. It's about a 50% chance. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
The only radio show that bleeds scarlet and gray. This is the Buckeye Show.
Running backs, a big topic today because Carlos Laughlin spoke at Ohio State spring practice, and he said he's got some guys. We know Isaiah West, we know Bo Jackson, but he certainly has some guys that he believes in that room. It's the Buckeye Show, sponsored by CareSource, Patrick Murphy, Matt Fontana, Jacob Reimer alongside. Don't forget, coming up, 6:30. We will talk to Dan Hope of 11 Warriors for Beers and Buckeyes, Adam Jardine, hour two. And we'll talk a little NFL draft, too, because... What's that?
Sorry, nothing.
Yeah, you're good. That's sorry. I was like, somebody said just did. I was like, we haven't talked about the draft just yet, Murph. But we'll get there because Ohio State, they are going to have several representatives in Pittsburgh for the draft coming up. But we start with the running back room now where Carlos Laughlin spoke today. And, you know, a room that went through a I don't want to say a seismic shift last year, Murph, but like you started out, you had the veteran guys, and then here comes Bo Jackson. And it just got to a point where it was inevitable. This kid needed to play. He was going to play, ended up playing half the year with a torn labrum. And we know both he and Isaiah West are out of spring ball right now, recovering from separate shoulder injuries. But the excitement around those two, I can't wait to see what these guys have for next year, especially Bo, but even Isaiah. You know, CJ Donaldson is back. Jacoby Jackson comes in as a transfer portal. I get, you know, quarterback Jeremiah Smith. There's a lot of questions on the offensive line. I think it's kind of nice that running back hasn't really been all discussed because there's just, I think, a level of confidence in these young guys to get the job done.
Yeah, I think you're right in terms of the two returners and in terms of guys that played. I think there may be some questions further down what the depth looks like, though Carlos Laughlin once again voiced a lot of confidence, as you mentioned, on that. But yeah, look, you get a 1,000-yard rusher back from his freshman season. Only four other players in Ohio State history have done that. So that's pretty impressive, even if you talk about freshmen not being able to play for a period of time. But I thought Bo was really impressive. He didn't start until the fifth game of the season and was able to produce. He played, as you mentioned, with that torn labrum for a decent chunk of the season. So a healthy Bo, a more experienced Bo, I think is exciting. I liked the little bits we saw of Isaiah West. And now you can add some other pieces into that room, assuming everyone gets healthy. And it is a deep and intriguing room, I would say, going into the season to help complement what else the Buckeyes have going on.
Let's hear from Carlos Lachlan, Ohio State running back coach, and he was asked about adapting to some of the players that are out and injured during the springtime. Here's Carlos Lachlan.
I hear all the concerns. I have no concerns. I just smile every day I come into this building because I know what the room is. But, you know, adversity introduces a man to himself. All right? Every player, every coach going to have some adversity. Spring, you expect that. Jacob's been doing a good job. I'm excited by Favour King. I know everybody hear me screaming at him, getting on him. But you talking about a kid that you can coach hard, that has the right mindset. And then, you know, the one kid that nobody talks about that helps us tremendously is Stanley Jackson Jr. He comes out, do his job every day. But I'm excited about this room. You're talking about Bo and Isaiah should be better in year two. And then, Turbo, getting healthy. And Legend is Legend. That means that this kid got a chance to be really good. But I said the same thing last year about two other kids. That was Bo Jackson and Isaiah West. This kid got a chance to be really good.
That is Carlos Lachlan. I just love how each of the guys goes, I can coach him hard. And, well, Legend Bay is Legend, you know. And, I mean, Murph, it is Ohio State, the receivers that they have turned out, incredibly talented in the NFL. DBs, incredibly talented in the NFL. We've turned out some really good linemen. And all of a sudden, you start looking around, and I guess you could probably start it with Zeke. You could look back at Carlos Hyde and it's even some of those, but obviously watching what Travion Henderson and what Quinshon Judkins were able to do just as rookies in the NFL last year, I think running back is a place. You're a good running back. Ohio State is a great place to go because they have developed some really good ones over the last couple of years. And it's easy to sit there and say, well, they're going to throw the ball everywhere because look at the receivers they have. They have Julian Sain. But watching the team, and I'm not trying to like talk ill of the guys that started the season, but you saw that shift when Bo Jackson got in there. You saw a different level to this offense. And exactly what Carlos is talking about there, another year better for those guys. They were doing as freshmen out there. This year, just to take a little bit more pressure, add that more dynamic piece to that offense in year two for these guys, I really do think the sky's the limit for this offense.
Yeah, it is unfortunate, I think. And look, Carlos Lachlan said he's not concerned about it, so I'm not going to be concerned about it. But I think you would ideally like to have them out there this spring just to, you know, they are young, right? I mean, I know, you know, Bo got, I think it was like 179 carries last year, and Isaiah got his, you know, feet wet, so to speak. But you would like to have them out there to work on those things. But you have time for that. You know, there'll be summer. There'll be fall camp. And I'm assuming some of that stuff has been worked on already. The mental reps, all of that is important for young players to learn how to do anyway. So the future is bright for both of them. You know, I thought it was interesting. Bo Jackson completely dismissed the idea that he was looking to transfer, you know, saying that this is the place he wants to be. And I think you want to hear that, especially from a guy, you know, from up in Cleveland, an Ohio kid. Like you said, when he got on the field, even against Grambling in that second game of the season, you saw a difference between what was happening in the first half with C.J. Donaldson and James Peoples. Like, it was clear pretty quickly, this kid needs more touches. And then eventually it became clear, like, this kid needs to be your RB1. And so when you got a guy like that, it's important, A, to keep him and then, you know, continue to develop him. And I think Carlos Lachlan does a great job of that.
Speaking of that, Carlos Lachlan was asked kind of what Bo and Isaiah are getting done while they're off to the side. But then he also talks about the room in general. Here's Carlos Lachlan.
They getting it. They're just not getting it physically, but they getting it mentally.
Does the back need that spring physicality?
Or? I mean, they getting that in the weight room from Mick. Because Isaiah and Bo's biggest issue last year was getting bigger, stronger. The weight room brings confidence. I both of them, they're confident. I think Bo's round 219, 220. Isaiah's 223. They confident. Now it's getting the mental aspect of the game. I tell the kids all the time, make knowledge your greatest talent. So now they're getting the mental part because they know what's going to happen. They've been in those situations. So having them bang in the spring for what? You know, they had to have some things done this spring, but it was good for us because things happen during the season. I believe in every guy in that room. You know why? Because I believe in myself.
Right.
And I'm important to them. So we ain't skipped a beat. You know, Martin Luther King said this once, that you have two type of faith. You have an if faith, you have a dough faith. Coach Locke got a dough faith. Though they might be out, guess what? I got faith in the other guy's room. But I can see it every day, say, well, if Bo was here, if Isaiah was here, that ain't the type of faith I got. I got a dope face. Though they out, hey, that's what we're going to be just fine. All right? And when they come back, is even better. Right. Instead of having those two guys, now you got five or six.
Cost Lachlan's a great motivator. Oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm with you, coach. I agree 100%.
I would play for that guy for sure.
Wouldn't you play for that guy? Wouldn't everybody play for Carlos Lachlan? And I think what he's saying there, Murph, is so right. Number one, they're shoulder injuries. These are running backs. Mm-hmm. Let's get that. And I understand that that's why they're not out there right now. And what he's saying, they're getting the mental reps, which sometimes can be even more important for the younger guys to sit back and take another view of it or kind of see how things are working. And understand that I think the competition between all the other guys that he was mentioning, as he kind of mentioned at the other end of the clip there, you got five, six different guys there. There's healthy competition, but make no mistake, Bo Jackson's your starter. You know, when he's healthy. And it's, you guys, you're going to need everybody out there. You're going to need some guys for short yardage, Legend Bay, whoever it might be. But I just like that they're taking their time with these guys and giving them that opportunity to get fully healthy, because it is a long season, and a shoulder injury for a running back can be very, very tricky.
Yeah, this is the time to get guys right. Like I said, you'd like to have them out there just to work on things. But, you know, Carlos Lachlan will make sure they know what they need to work on and that they're doing those things. And, you know, I think the fact that they got the work they did last year helps ease that a little bit, because at least you've seen it. There's film they can watch. You can be working on, you know, things like, you know, drills with your legs and things like that that don't require contact. So, you know, there's definitely positives to having them out. And you get to see these other guys, right? Like Favor Key gets an opportunity to show what he can do. And as Carlos Lachlan said, that can help build that depth in the room.
Yeah, and especially when you think about how it's going to fit in with this offense. Arthur Smith, new offensive coordinator, understanding that, I think it's obviously a bigger conversation for another day, of the Ryan Day influence. You can't change everything. You're not really trying to change everything. But Arthur Smith's had some really good running backs in his time in the NFL, and he's gotten the most out of some good backs in the NFL. So that is one of kind of the areas of intrigue that I have with him taking over the offense. We'll see where it goes from there. All right, Beers the Buckeyes comes your way next. Dan Hope, 11 Warriors, he'll join us on the Buckeyes.
Ross Bjork, Senior Vice President and Eugene Smith Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director at The Ohio State University. In partnership with AEP, Donato's, Kroger, The Ohio State University, Wexner Medical Center, Huntington, and 10TV, Ohio State Athletics strives to inspire the community to make a positive impact on children and families in our great state through the Buckeyes Care Initiative. Show and share your support in the community by using the hashtag BuckeyesCare.
Attention Columbus. Town Properties just clinched the title of the largest residential property manager in Columbus, thanks to the Columbus Business Journal. With pride, we oversee 25,000 plus households in the Columbus metro area, ensuring fantastic places to call home. Whether you're on the hunt for an exceptional living space, a top-notch association management company, or a property manager for your multifamily portfolio, visit our website at town-properties.com and let us elevate your living experience. Town Properties, always managing great places to live.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Drink up, Slappy. It's time for Beers and Buckeyes with Patrick Murphy.
Well, Murph's already here. He's here for all 2 hours of the Buckeye Show, presented by CareSource. I'm Matt Fontana alongside, as well, Jacob Reimer here, and we are so happy to bring in Dan Hope, 11 Warriors, on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Fan Guest Hotline. Dan, appreciate your time tonight. Of course, everybody follow him on Twitter, Dan_Hope. And to bring you right into the conversation that Murph and I were just having, Dan, about that running back room and hearing from Carlos Lachlan today about having so many options back there, understanding it, you know, it's Bo and Isaiah to start things out, but a great opportunity for these other guys in the spring with them injured, step up, get the reps, kind of make a little bit of an impression there. What are your vibes on that running back room that you've seen so far through the spring?
Yeah, so it seems like, you know, Carlos Lachlan thinks they really have four guys who can make an impact this year. You mentioned Bo Jackson and Isaiah West. Jacoby Jackson's a guy that, you know, he seems to be very excited about. Very experienced guy, seventh year of college football, coming in from Florida. He had a lot of good things to say about him today. He was asked, you know, late in his interview session, who's the most complete running back in his room, and he said Bo Jackson, but Jacoby's kind of right there with him. But then he said the most dynamic guy in the room is Legend Bay. And I mean, we've just heard it really dating back to when, you know, Coach Day was on 97.1 in January, and he said that Legend Bay, he compared him to Tyreek Hill. And ever since then, it's just kind of been this consistent hype rising around this freshman that, you know, he's somebody who's going to make an immediate impact for Ohio State. And you can just tell the way that Carlos Laughlin talked about him today, the way that everybody's talking about him, that, you know, he's someone that they expect to make an immediate impact as a freshman and who they think can be a dynamic weapon that they can use in multiple ways in this offense.
Dan, you just touched on Legend there, and that's where I was going to ask you about. What do you see his role being, and how much do you think maybe missing this time in the spring will affect what he is able to do in the fall, given that he won't have had some of these reps?
Yeah, it's such an interesting question because we've seen a lot of guys come to Ohio State. There's been so many guys who have been supposed to be the quote-unquote next Curtis Samuel at Ohio State, and we really haven't seen that materialize since the actual Curtis Samuel himself. But the way they're talking about Legend just seems different than the way they were talking about a lot of those other guys. So I do think we're going to see him play on offense this year. How much that will be, like you said, the fact that he has missed some time this spring, you know, he's probably going to have some work to do in preseason camp to really lock down that role. But, you know, there's been one of the big talking points about this running game has been looking for more explosive plays after only having 12 runs of 20 plus yards last year. I think they view Legend Bay as a guy who can be that guy, who can give them that extra boost of home run hitting ability that maybe they didn't have last year after Travion Henderson left. So, you know, my feeling is it could be kind of similar to what we saw with Bo and Isaiah last year, where, you know, he's probably going to start the year as probably the fourth guy on a running back depth chart, I would guess. But as he gets opportunities, if he performs well in those opportunities and shows some of his playmaking ability we're hearing about, I wouldn't be surprised if his role grows and grows over the course of a season.
Beers and Buckeyes sitting here on the Buckeye Show. Dan Hope, of course, 11 Warriors joining us. Matt Fontana, Patrick Murphy. Dan, the other, I guess not other part of the running game, but a big part of that running game is the offensive line. I just haven't had a chance to talk to you and get your thoughts on this. Of a lot of changes, injuries affecting that group as well for spring ball, just what are your views on the offensive line so far?
Yeah, I mean, the good news is they have four guys back from last year who were starters. So I think, you know, for a guy like an Austin Cyrielle to miss the end of spring, I don't know if that's a huge deal. I think Philip Daniels, it maybe hurts him a little bit more because I think he's a guy who isn't a legitimate competition for his job. I think Ian Moore is a guy that Ohio State really likes. And I think that if Ian Moore continues to trend the way that he's been trending, that he's a guy they may have to find a way to get him on the field. And does that mean him replacing Philip Daniels at right guard? Does it mean moving Austin Cyrielle back to guard? Not sure on that yet, but, you know, I think that he's a guy who's certainly, you know, trying to make a move and get into that starting lineup. Gabe Van Sickle, another guy in that group as well there at right guard. But obviously, you know, in the end, it's all about finding that right five and getting that chemistry together. And it is a setback that you lost, you know, Austin Cyrielle and Philip Daniels for the rest of the spring. But, you know, at the same time, we've seen it a lot at Ohio State in recent years where you have an idea coming out of spring of what the offensive line is going to look like. And then there's some curveball that gets thrown in preseason camp. Last year, of course, it was Ethan Onyeonwu comes out of spring as the starting left tackle. He ends up barely playing all year. We've seen that a few times in recent years. So I think this was always going to be a position group that there was going to be some ongoing competition going into preseason camp. And I think that's, you know, pretty much guaranteed now because of some of these injuries that they've had to deal with in the front five here this spring.
Dan, are you just a little surprised we haven't heard more about Chris Henry, given his recruiting pedigree and whatnot? And I think Brock Boyd has kind of taken over as the freshman that everyone's talking about. But, you know, what do you make of Chris, and are you surprised we haven't heard more about him?
I mean, certainly the fact that Brock Boyd is the only freshman who's lost his black stripe so far suggests that he is, you know, the furthest ahead of those freshmen, is a step ahead of where Chris Henry Jr. is right now in terms of being ready to play right now. At the same time, like, I think it was notable that when Ryan Day was talking about Chris Henry Jr. last week, that he said his goal should be to start day one. Like, Ryan Day is pretty calculated in how the way he talks about freshmen. He wouldn't be putting that out there about Chris Henry Jr. if he didn't think there was a real chance that Chris Henry Jr. could be a day one starter. So I don't think he's there right now. I think the fact that he hasn't yet lost his black stripe would suggest that he's not there right now. But I still think the potential's there for him to play a huge role in this offense. You know, I think if it was right now, you know, obviously Jeremiah Smith's going to be the number one guy. Certainly seems like Brandon Innes is going to keep his starting job. I think right now, you know, it's probably some combination of, you know, Kyle Parker, Devin McEwen, and Brock Boy, who are probably the, you know, third, fourth, fifth guys. But I think Chris Henry Jr., with the immense talent he has, if he continues to develop the way they think he develops, I still think there's a very good chance he ends up playing a major role in the offense this fall.
Dan, really appreciate your time. Everybody can follow him on Twitter at Dan_Hope from 11 Warriors. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me, guys.
There you go. Dan Hope, of course, joining us. And, you know, I think, Murph, as Dan was kind of discussing there, the black stripe being so important and welcoming these players in, and I think it's just got to be such a motivating force for a lot of these guys. I do think maybe a little bit about that message being sent or what has gone in behind it. And like you said, you know, Brock Boyd has shown up and been, I don't know, Murph, would you agree, probably the story or at least one of the top stories of camp so far, I would think.
Yeah, especially if we're talking freshman. I think he's definitely looked the part and, you know, still a freshman, let's be clear. But
right.
I think, you know, given his recruiting ranking, which was probably a bit too low, I think it has surprised some people. I don't think it surprised anyone in that building that he's been able to do what he's doing, because I think they've been very high on him for a while.
Right, and there's still plenty of time of camp. There's still a little bit of time here in spring ball, and certainly there are players that carry that over, you know, into fall camp as you get ready to go for the season. And I think about that as an opportunity, too, of carving out space and just carving out a role. And it's easy, I think, even just, I'll speak to myself, Murph. If you're there every day, you know, you see this team, but I'll just sit there and for myself, and I'm like, okay, you know, yeah, pencil this guy in, okay, we're good here, and don't even need to think about this, and understanding that that can all change. Exactly kind of even what Dan was talking about. This can all change quickly, and it can be, unfortunately, injury, or it can be, unfortunately, guys just not stepping up and playing the role that you thought it would be. So it's easy for me to sit here and be like, oh, we don't need it. You know, again, Innes and, of course, Jeremiah, and then even then we'll turn to Chris Henry. But there could be a spot up there for a Brock Boyd to fit in at some point.
Yeah, and I think if we're talking Chris Henry and even Brock Boyd, because there's just been so much new that maybe he hasn't been talked about as much as he would in another offseason where he's having this type of spring practice, it's probably a good thing. Like, they're not facing this hype every day, you know, questions about them. Like, Chris Henry can just go about being Chris Henry and getting better. And, you know, there'll be expectations, no doubt about it. But it's not like he's getting the Jeremiah Smith hype of a few years ago or things like that, which I think could have happened if maybe things play out a little differently.
And like you said, that's just, it's equally spread around in a way. And it also got me thinking about this too, about like Jeremiah Smith. Like, we've not talked because what's there really to say? Like, you know, we want to look at the new guys. You see Brock Boyd, you see Chris Henry. And it's, other than the news this week, which we'll get to a little bit later about Jeremiah and the transfer portal and the money that he could have turned down or did turn down or would have gotten and all that. But it is kind of nice to sit there and say, I don't really need to worry about that. We'll kind of focus on some of these other guys, give them some due credit where it's deserved because they're making plays out there and doing what they can. So it is fun to kind of maybe take the pressure off of Jeremiah, and or at least I don't say pressure, but just take off maybe some of the cameras and have quite as many media obligations because there's so many other guys that are stepping up here in spring ball. So the pro side we go. Update on the NFL draft. Quite a few Buckeyes will be in attendance in Pittsburgh. And potentially a change at the top of the draft for a former Ohio State Buckeye. We'll get to all that. Buckeye Show right here on The Fan, presented by.
The sound of Paul Keel's calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destination. As the resident gambling degenerates, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas for On the Money. Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan.
There's one medical team in Central Ohio skilled enough to care for your favorite Ohio State team
team and Buckeyes everywhere. The Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center is your choice for the most highly specialized orthopedic and sports medicine care. Our surgeons, physicians, and physical therapists have access to the most advanced treatments and innovative recovery approaches to get you back in your game. Because on or off the field, our team is your team. The choice for your orthopedic care is clear.
Paul Keels here, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You have to check out the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Buckeyes sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeye MVP membership upgrade for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
It's game day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. All available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Nobody has more all-wheel drive or electrified hybrid choices than Toyota, like the best-selling Tacoma. Now through May 4th, get 4.99 APR financing on a new 26 Tacoma. Excludes TRD Pro and Trail Hunter. Or lease a well-equipped Tacoma SR5 for $299 a month for 36 months with $39.99 due at signing. With approved credit for TFS, tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Someone out there probably thinks we spend too much time talking about the Buckeyes. Please tell someone that they're stupid. You're listening to the Buckeye Show.
Well, we know the Ohio State Buckeyes and the NFL Draft, they are no strangers to one another. And there's plenty of Buckeyes that are going to go often and early in the draft that Murph is just 2 weeks away. Can we get there already? Please, I cannot wait. But with that, we're going to have some Buckeyes in attendance and maybe a little change up at top when it comes to an Ohio State player. It's the Buckeye Show, sponsored by CareSource. You're on The Fan. I'm Matt Fontana in tonight alongside Patrick Murphy and Jacob Reimer. So let's start with the Ohio State Buckeyes that will be in attendance for the draft coming up. And before we get to the list, Murph, like, as a fan, even as like a media member, how much do you care about the guys that go to the, like, Mendoza's not going, which I think is just awkward. I don't like it. I know he wants to be with his family and wants to celebrate. And now a lot of these guys have deals about having a party somewhere or slipping in a little bit of advertisement or things like that, whatever. But I think it's, I don't like it. I don't like it when the top guys aren't there, because I think it's so cool to see them walk out on the stage and go up to the commissioner and hold the jersey up and all that kind of stuff.
I agree 100%. I mean, I think, you know, you think of guys, iconic guys getting drafted. It's always, except for that COVID year, which was super awkward for everybody. It's the guys going up and, as you said, holding up the jersey, hugging the commissioner, all that stuff. Like, and I'm not saying it's wrong for Mendoza to not go. Like, he can do whatever he wants, right. Obviously. But I think it does take away from sort of when they look back, assuming he goes on, has a good career, like when they go back to tell that story on NFL Network or whatever, they won't have that moment. You know, I'm sure there'll be cameras wherever he does have the draft, but you won't have that moment. And I like that. I agree. But, you know, I think the decision is up to these guys, and it's all about money and that type of thing. And, you know, you can say you want to spend it with your family. Your family can come to the draft. Now, maybe
right,
not everybody.
There. Yeah, they're there.
Yeah. So, it's probably some sort of deal or something like that. But I wish all of the top guys were there. And sometimes it's not their fault, right? Like, sometimes right. There's a surprise pick or whatnot.
And I guess there is a little element, like, I know I saw Ty Simpson's going, mm-hmm. and I'm like, you know, you could be the next Brady Quinn, you could be the next Aaron Rodgers, so they just keep panning to your table, and I guess Shador Sanders would probably be a more recent example.
Yeah,
of
I don't
that.
Know if he'll drop that far. But
I don't think he's going to drop that far either. But there's still that little awkwardness. I will say this. I have no worry about the five Buckeyes going because I think they're all going to go pretty early. Caleb Downs going. Caden McDonald's going. Arvell Reese is going. Sonny Styles and Carnell Tate all going to be there. And Ohio State has a great chance to make some history. In fact, joining Michigan State in 1967 and Notre Dame in 1946. So we are closer to 60 years that have had one school have four players be drafted in the top 10. So again, it's only happened twice. Michigan State in 1967, Notre Dame in 1946, that you had four players going in the top 10. And I sit here, Murph, and we'll get to Arvell Reese and maybe the odd changes there about where he might go. You know, I sit here trying to not be like a prisoner of the moment. I love the draft. I read everything I can about the draft. I'm up in Cleveland. I cover the Browns. I'm all hooked up to it. And I feel like I got a pretty good idea of how things are going to go, where you sit there, I'm like, okay, Arvell, I think, is a top 10 pick. I think, actually, I love your take on this. I think Sonny Styles is the most lock top 10. I mean, Arvell, I feel really good about. I guess some crazy things could happen on like his positional value, or if people get really scared off by that. I think there is no doubt in my mind that Sonny Styles is going in the top 10. I think Caleb Downs could be there, and I think Carnell Tate is the number one receiver. So I'm pretty sure the Buckeyes are going to have a good look at getting those four in the top 10.
Yes, I agree. I think it's interesting with Arvell because there's all this talk about what position he is, right?
Yeah.
And like for me, if you're a team picking that early in the draft, you probably need a lot of different things. And that's a guy who can give you some different things. So, you know, if you want somebody who's more of a true linebacker or more of a true edge rusher, fine. But I watched him play, and like, I was somewhat critical of him at the end of last season because the production sort of declined. But the gifts that he has and what he did show last year, I don't know how he isn't one of the top guys. But I agree with you on Sonny Styles. Like, I think Arvell has sort of overshadowed him a little bit because Sonny was around for so long. Like, I think we've talked about it before, the combine, like, those results weren't surprising to me, and maybe it's just because I'm right, too close to the situation, having seen him, you know, play and practice and things like that. But I mean, the kid was a freak in his sophomore year of high school physically.
Yeah.
So I wasn't surprised by any of that. And look, I think any of these guys, if you are one of the teams picking near the top of the draft, are going to be good. Obviously, Carnell as a wide receiver, like, you need that to be a need. But, you know, the one that's interesting to me is Caden McDonald. Like, I know he's projected sort of late end of the draft, or the end of the first round, excuse me. He told us when we were at the pro day that he was going to be at the draft. And not that I don't think he doesn't deserve that opportunity, because I do think he's really good. But like, I hope, you were talking earlier about Ty Simpson. Like, I hope it doesn't become a thing where, you know, he slips into day two and has to kind of come back and go through all that.
Yeah, and real quick on Caden before we talk about David Bailey and Arvell Reese and kind of a little bit of a change there. Some of the mocks that I've seen, some of the just the simulations, I see Caden up in the late teens, 18, somewhere around there. Vikings, I've seen some with the Cowboys second pick. And then a lot of the other ones that you kind of mentioned, 26, 27, 28, somewhere around in that range. But I do, I you know, and like anything, it's kind of the eye of the beholder here. I see some mocks that he is in the second round, but he's gone by 37. You know, it's not late in that second round, but it's just different because it is another night now, obviously waiting for the second one, but we'll kind of see where Caden goes. So this is an update that I saw yesterday, and it came from BetMGM, which, again, there are a lot of different books out there, and you can look at a lot of different sources for betting odds. And even though we can't bet on the draft in the state of Ohio, I thought this was just an interesting piece, Murph, to look at. The odds when it comes to players going at a specific pick. So, like, an example is Fernando Mendoza is like minus 10,000 to go first overall, right? Like, it's not even worth it. He's going number one. And number two, for most of the spring, Arvell Reese was a heavy favorite to go to the New York Jets. I think all the mocks that I was reading was kind of reflecting the same thing. And now we've had this flip. Yesterday, for the first time, David Bailey, the edge rusher from Texas Tech, has overtaken Arvell Reese to be the quote-unquote betting favorite to go number two with the New York Jets. I mean, I could poke through this, Murph, and just say, hey, obviously the pro day, people were looking for stuff to rip into him about. He sent the other video of him working out. Bailey's on his top 30 visits. He was up here with the Browns. That was an interesting one. We'll get to that story maybe another time. But still, I would imagine this is just more of that. Like, Bailey is, no doubt about it, the prototypical edge guy. He's got that size. He's got that strength. I'm with you. Arvell Reese can make plays for you on defense. What more do you want him to do, right? He can do it all for you. I could see that change. Even if he doesn't go two to the Jets, I don't think there's any way Arvell slips out of the top 10.
Yeah, that would be very surprising. I do think it's funny. Like, you're critiquing a kid on a drill, on a video that went, you know, and now obviously the people who are making these decisions were there or got the full film or whatever, but I did think the discourse about Arvell coming out of pro day was like, it was one drill. And
somebody, Murph, said his chin was too high. I'm like, yeah. What are we doing? Right. We're sitting there, oh, wait, his chin wasn't in a good position for his bend. I'm like, go put on the tape of whatever game you want to look at for him last year and tell me he wasn't all over the field.
Right. Well, and the thing, too, and he's I've seen that he's been talking on podcasts, or at least one podcast, and I assume he's been telling teams, like, there's this narrative that he played defensive end before he was a linebacker. Like, that just, he did it in practice for some days because they had injuries his freshman year. It wasn't like he spent an entire season working at defensive end and then moved to back to linebacker. So if you're going to draft him to be a sort of rush end guy, or even expect that off the edge more at linebacker, like, you're going to have to coach him up some on that. The good news is he's got all the physical tools to do it. And based on everything I understand, he's really coachable. So I don't think you'll have a problem if that's it. It just may take a little bit of work. Does that mean he drops from 2 to 5 or, you know, whatever it may be? Fine. So be it. I still think you're getting a really good player.
Absolutely. And like you said, the coachable part of it, because you could see a player saying, I gotta play edge because that's where the money's going to be, or that's how I'm going to make it in the NFL, or kind of trying to jam this round peg into a square hole type thing. Where in today's defense in the NFL, it is really positionless at some spots, and you need different types of corners. You need different types of safeties. You need different types of linebackers, edge guys. And I would just imagine that any coach would look at a guy like Arvell Reese and say, I can work with that. I got that. That I need, and I can work with it. I take a shot and say, you know, he's going to the Jets. Or might, you know what? Maybe there's a blessing in disguise, Murph. Don't go to the Jets. Yeah, I don't want to, you know, get Garrett out of there. I saw what they did with Chuck. Like, maybe it's a blessing in disguise if he doesn't go to the Jets. Maybe it'll all work out, but I still feel really good about Arvell Reese being a football player and a good top 10 pick there. Reimer's got the College Football Pulse. We got Masters updates. Adam Jardy also coming up in hour 2 with a big addition for Ohio State and the transfer portal. It's all coming up. Buckeye Show right here on The Fan.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Thinking about,
I love the neighborhood where I grew up, but it was tough.
Ohio State National Championship quarterback and former CareSource kid, Cardale Jones.
Football helped me find my direction, but I also needed the right support system. Seeing that CareSource heart around town, I just knew they had my back. That's the kind of difference they still make in neighborhoods like mine. This is so much more than health insurance. CareSource, today and always, trusted. Visit CareSource.com.
Buckeye Nation, join us on April 12th at the 2026 Ohio State 4-Miler, presented by Union Home Mortgage, the Ohio Beef Council, and Raising Cane's. This is your chance to run down a tunnel and finish on the 50-yard line at Ohio Stadium. You can also get access to the home locker room and meet some of your favorite Buckeye student-athletes. A portion of the proceeds benefit the Buckeye Crews for Cancer. This is something you won't want to miss. Register today at OhioState4Miler.com. Go Bucks!
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. We'll be right back.
They're trained. They're prepared.
Let's do it.
They're Ohio's undefeated plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling team. And they're here to tackle your problems. For plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling, there's only one team. The Waterworks. Better care, better value, better results. Call the Waterworks at 614-232-2222 or visit them online at thewaterworks.com. A proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good evening, I'm Jacob Reimer. The Ohio State basketball team with their first pickup from this transfer portal cycle, adding Justin Pippen from Cal. As a sophomore last year, Pippen averaged 14.2 points per game and led the team in assists at 4.6 per game. He is also the son of NBA legend Scottie Pippen. Round two of the Masters is wrapping up at Augusta National. Rory McIlroy is trying to make it back-to-back green jackets, and he's running away with it. He finishes today with a 7-under 65, putting him at 12-under for the tournament with a 6-shot lead. Patrick Reed and Sam Burns are closest in the chase at 6-under. Justin Rose, Shane Lowry, and Tommy Fleetwood are at 4-under. In baseball, the Reds are back at home tonight hosting the Los Angeles Angels. They're scoreless in the bottom of the first, and the Guardians are in Atlanta taking on the Braves' first pitches here at 7:15. This update sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call 1-800-MORE-SLEEP or visit online at sleepbettercolumbus.com. Stop snoring, sleep better, live better.
For the College Football Pulse on the Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
All right, Reimer's got all the stories. We take a look around college football with the Pulse.
Matt Fontana, Patrick Murphy with the Buckeye Show. Real quick before we get to it, guys. Reimer, you just had the update there. Rory, like, boot
things over.
End. It's done.
It's
I was
over.
Just texting my friend, and I go, this sucks. They go, why? And it was like, you don't want Rory to win? I'm like, no, I like Rory. I go, it's not even going to be fun to watch. It's not even going to be fun to watch this weekend. And they're like, well, it's history. You can watch history. I'm like, it's going to be boring. And the conditions, it is supposed to be a beautiful, been beautiful. It's going to be beautiful all weekend in Augusta.
Which would make it best if it's close and you've got many guys in the chase for this thing. And it's for how great it's going to be. Like, you've got the best conditions possible for it to be a massive weekend, but
it's
no.
Spicy.
Rory's going Vince Carter meme here. It's over. This thing's done.
Well, and the other thing would be is, like, if it was really kind of, like, wet or rainy or sloppy and all that, you'd be like, okay, maybe he could choke it away or maybe he wouldn't be able to finish it off. It's like, no, the guy's going to have, what, a 5-shot lead?
He's got a 6-shot.
Going to Saturday or 6-shot.
No, that's
right.
Lead.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. He birdied 18, too.
Yeah, birdied.
Everybody's like, oh. I don't hate Rory.
How many going in did he get? How many birdies in a row? He played the last four holes in 4-under. Birdied every hole the last four holes.
That's what I was saying. I think he was like 5-under on the last six or something like that. And one of them was a chip-in. He chipped in on 17. He had a bad tee shot in 17 at a layup. He was short right of the hole. And, you know, I'll just chip this in. Like, thanks, Rory. Appreciate it. He never walk away from the table when you're on a heater. All right, Reimer's on a heater. He's got the College Football Pulse. Take it away.
So I don't know if you guys saw the back and forth last week with Cody Campbell and Brett Yormark about the Big 12 and scheduling games on the weeknight. And they've came out with those weekday games. And the most notable one that they were upset about was Houston at Texas Tech on Friday, September 18th. So, let's see, Texas Tech also has a game Thursday, November 26th. Is that Thanksgiving?
I think it's right around there.
Yeah.
It sounds about right.
TCU at Texas Tech. But the big argument with those two was Friday night football is king in Texas. And, of course, you've got two Texas teams here playing on a Friday night, Houston at Texas Tech. I came on the side of the Big 12 has to do something to where they can get their own kind of spotlight because – on Saturdays, you're competing with the Big Ten and the SEC. You've got Big Noon, which is more likely than not going to be Ohio State. You've got the primetime window, whether it's going to be Alabama, Georgia on ABC, something like that. And it's trying to pick and choose like where you're going to be filtered in that. So like this right here is how the Big 12 is going to be able to compete with those, with the big boy conferences, and get their best teams out in the spotlight for to have some confidence going into the playoff that like, oh, okay, maybe the Big 12 isn't all that bad.
So the 26th is Thanksgiving, by the way, so you're right on that. You know, and the other thing, when I saw that, even as you're talking through it, Reimer, like, Murph, this is the Big 12 trying to sit there and say, this is beneath us. This is beneath us to play on the weeknight. We're not the MAC. And it's like, no, actually, you need to take a look around this room and understand you are not who you think you used to be, because you're not. And this conference realignment, it angers me. It bothers me to some points. Like, I'm happy that Oregon is in the Big Ten. We had to bring USC, had to bring UCL. Okay, fine, here we are. Like, the global expansion, if you will, of college football driving this, I think it does hurt some other sports in a way. But yeah, you've created this where these conferences that they tell you matter but don't actually matter, because everybody's going to make it as long as you got a good enough record. So for the Big 12 to come out now and go, well, it's like beneath us to play these weak games, it's like, no, you are now the inferior conference, because it's sure as hell not the SEC and the Big Ten. You could sit there and try to tell me third, but here's the thing. There's only three conferences. There's only three, and you are third in that, so enjoy your Wednesday night games.
Yeah, I've been torn on this for a while. Like, there's been the conversation with the Big Ten, right? Because they do the Fox Friday night games, and Ohio State doesn't do it because, as Reimer mentioned, Friday night football, exactly. High school football. Right. And, like, I get it. Like, that's a sacred kind of thing. But also, I don't mind when I'm not at a high school football game on a Friday night, or we're on the road somewhere and we're just looking for something to watch to turn on and have a decent Big Ten game. I remember, I forget where we were last year, watching USC play somebody, and it was like a good, you know, we had something to watch on Friday. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm not advocating for Ohio State to do it. I'm not saying that these Texas teams should do it. But I do think it is an interesting window, you know, if you're not going out to watch local high school football, you know, there's not a ton else on a Friday night when we're talking sports, right? So I do think it makes some sense, but you're spot on. Like, this is an opportunity for the quote unquote lesser conferences to you know, get their product out there. And, you know, I'm sorry to say that the Big 12 is now in that viewpoint, but that's kind of where we stand at this point.
100%. And, like, no disrespect to the ACC, because I actually might put the Big 12 behind the ACC point. I think that's a fact. So they're 4-4. And in an NIL world, how else are you going to make your revenue? To Reimer's point, you want to battle it out at noon or 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock, 3:30 on a Saturday? You're going to lose. You're going to lose. Go play Wednesday. Get your cash.
Which, it's crazy to me that they have that Thanksgiving game, because my argument was, like, you can't go to Thursday during the early part of the season because of NFL on Thursday night. You're competing with that. You're going smack dab against one of the biggest days of the NFL calendar.
The NFL, exactly.
What are we doing here? And Texas Tech's going to be probably your best team.
Yeah. You know, and the Friday night thing, because I'm with you guys. Like, I grew up in Northeast Ohio. I played high school football. I know the reverence behind it. I know how special it is. And somebody broke it down to me this years ago, and they go, yeah, Matt, who's at high school games? Parents, other students, and that's it.
And sickos.
Well, yeah, I shouldn't say just that. Yeah, there's community members, and there are people that just go to every game. But he said, how many people, he goes, did your dad go to any games after you graduated? And I was like, no. And he goes, so then what's he doing on Friday night? Probably sitting there wishing that he had a college football game to watch. And I go, you're not wrong. And especially the people that are at the games, well, they just miss that Friday night game. If you're a giant Ohio State fan and you miss a game on Friday, like, I totally understand it. But that is the nice thing, that Ohio State doesn't have to worry about that, because they never, ever, ever are going to have to worry about cutting checks or needing a check or things like that. These other schools, these other conferences, like, specifically the Big 12, know your place, shut up, and go play on Wednesday. That's where you're at.
I do love the Thursday night Ohio State games that we get every once in a while, especially to start the season. And that's kind of from a selfish, like, it gives me a whole extra weekend of college football to watch when I'm not working. But I don't mind them doing that every once in a while.
Sure.
You know, they've done it at Indiana a couple times. They had Marshall come to the Horseshoe on a Thursday night to open the season.
The last one was at Minnesota, right?
Yeah, the C.J. Stroud, Travion Henderson game. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't mind doing that every once in a while. And I think that helps. You know, you're right. You don't need Ohio State to get propped up. But it does help those other teams that, like, you know, Minnesota, Indiana before Kurt Cignetti, to sort of get, you know, hey, it's the only thing on. Let's tune in. Whereas maybe on a Saturday, you're not going to do that.
Right. Next up, Reimer.
All right, so this was put out on Wednesday from Ross Dellinger. The NCAA is considering a significant change to its eligibility rules. An NCAA committee next week is expected to explore a new age-based standard for athlete eligibility as part of a proposal that's been in the works for weeks, but only recently has been socialized with high-level conference and school administrators. So what they're going to do, NCAA athletes would have 5 full years of eligibility from the time of their 19th birthday or their high school graduation, whichever is earliest. No waiver requests, red shirts, or exceptions, I think. I don't know what just happened there. So those will be permitted. So what do you guys think of this potential eligibility change?
Please, please, please let this pass and be a thing. It needs to be a thing already. I mean, Murph, I'm not going to name names because there are even some in the Ohio State program, and I'm not knocking these young men. They are now getting paid. They're chasing dream and all that. 5 years and let's be done. Please. I really think it should be 4 years of eligibility. You get hurt, you get a red shirt, but you have 5 years to use up 4 years worth of eligibility. You get a one-time transfer. You use that up. You want to move again. You're going to have to sit out a year. It got too crazy. I'm glad to see that there's at least discussion to start to reel this back in. I think this is too much common sense. I think this is perfect, and I hope it passes.
Yeah, this was the intent of the redshirt rule, right? You get your 5 years, unless you get seriously injured or something, and then you can apply for a waiver. But I think it makes sense. I think most people would be behind it. This might be one of the first things that doesn't get highly contested. Now, there will be somebody who wants a sixth year, and you know, we'll have to figure that out in court probably. I do think this makes a lot of sense. It gives you plenty of time to do what you would have done in your college career. I think you can come out the other end, whether you play 3 years, whether you play 4 years, whether you play 5 years, and accomplish everything you need to do in that span. So, and it also prevents, you know, seventh year guys, no shade thrown to Jacoby Jackson.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
You want this one real quick here?
Sure. We can sneak it in quickly.
So there is some pre-World Cup matches coming to college football stadiums. So,
you're speaking my language.
I know. I knew you liked this, Pat. Lionel Messi is going to SEC country. I mean, I know he kind of already is, like being in Florida. Like, I know it's Miami, but...
Miami, but yeah.
But Argentina will play its final two pre-World Cup friendlies at two of the United States' most iconic college football stadiums. That's what the article says. The defending World Cup champions will face Honduras on June 6th at Kyle Field in College Station, and then before taking on Iceland on June 9th at Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn, Alabama.
I think it's cool. I mean, like, it's expanding the game. Like, I'm here in Cleveland. We have a friendly between Egypt and Belgium, maybe? Does that sound right? Did I say it convincing enough? I don't know. Like, I'll defer to you guys, Murph specifically. You like soccer, not really my thing. I understand why it's so big. And I do think it's cool that the United States of this, it's literally all over the country. Like, that I think is pretty cool. I'm sure the players don't like it because they got to fly every which way and go. But they're in some of the biggest stadiums, NFL, college. I actually think this is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's Brazil, Egypt. I may come up that way for that one.
That's Neymar, right?
He hasn't been involved with Brazil for a little while. But
I thought I saw something today that he's trying to come to Cincy.
There is some buzz about that, but that's for a different radio show. I don't want to go off on a rant here. But no, I think it's great. You know me and my soccer affinity. So, I think it's cool that they're going to do this. You know, that we've got Ecuador is being hosted here in Columbus and using the cruise facilities throughout the World Cup. So they're going to have a friendly here as well.
Just do it at the Shoe.
The problem with the Shoe is when they took out the track and put the stands in, it's too narrow for... You can't get the field as wide as it technically is supposed to be. So you can do like friendlies and stuff there, like they've done with some of the European teams that come over in the summer. But if you're going to have like a real game, and I know this is an exhibition too, but it's leading into the World Cup, the Shoe is kind of out of bounds to continue the pun.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Murph. Don't they have to play the World Cup on grass?
Yes. So, for instance,
on turf, right?
Yeah, the crew played
aren't
at Atlanta.
MetLife, yeah, aren't they tearing MetLife out to put grass in for them to play or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, they're doing this at a lot. I don't know if they're tearing it out, but yeah, the crew played at Atlanta last week, for instance, and they had already put the grass down because they had a couple U.S. friendlies, and so the grass is just going to stay there through the World Cup instead of the turf that they usually play on, which is great for soccer, and it was much better to watch the crew play on that than the turf that they normally play on down there.
Nope, too many games. It ended up looking like Heinz Field 3 weeks yeah. into the NFL season. Like, oh, high school pit. Everybody, just come on down and play. That's how it's going to go. All right, coming up, Jeremiah Smith in the news this week because he kept it real in an interview about how much he could have gotten had he entered the transfer portal. We'll touch on the special teams for the Buckeyes through spring ball. It's all coming your way here on the Buckeye Show.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
Enjoy more. Life is more fun with a pal. So is pizza. So check out Donato's $5 Pizza Pals menu. Order any large pizza and add your choice of a sub, salad, wings, dessert, and more for just $5 each. Order your favorite $5 Pizza Pals from Donato's.com today. More toppings, more flavor, more fun. Donato's. Gotta love more.
Go behind the scenes of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
Come on over to Heartland and join our family.
Now, getting ahead in this world is not as complicated as it might seem. Having the early guidance and counsel of your community banker, one who knows you and your family story, can make a great deal of difference. Relationships matter. Bank on community banking. I'm Scott McComb. Coming over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Where banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Paul Keels for RV Wholesalers. Peace of mind, that's what you get when purchasing your next RV from RV Wholesalers. With every new RV purchase, Ohio residents receive the exclusive Buckeye Service Guarantee. If your RV is in the shop, RV Wholesalers will give you a free loaner. Also with a Buckeye Service Guarantee, you'll receive free delivery in the state of Ohio and three-day RV exchange. That's the exclusive Buckeye Service Guarantee. Only at RV Wholesalers in Lakeview, Mansfield, Delaware, and RVW.com. RV Wholesalers, a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
The Jackets are making a push to the playoffs.
Islanders and Adam Fantilli, one more time, puts it in the net.
Listen to every exciting moment, including an extended pregame show for weekend games. Proud to be your home of the Jackets, The Fan.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Encova Insurance is prepared for what's next and protects what matters most to you. With independent insurance agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova Insurance is an easy win for your peace of mind. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you.
AgPro has been family-owned and operated for over 64 years. We take pride in developing long-lasting relationships and offering first-class customer service. Need a new tractor, parts for your used equipment, or reliable service? AgPro has you covered. AgPro is here to serve you and your operation as your hometown dealer. Visit us today at any of our AgPro locations or go online to agproco.com to get started with your AgPro experience.
Fan weather
from the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Well, we'll get rid of the showers early tonight. Across central Ohio, and then skies will clear into Saturday morning. On Saturday, a lot of sunshine and highs in the middle 60s. Really warm on Sunday, breezy, some morning sun, some afternoon clouds. My forecast is 83. The record high is 86. On Monday, about a 50% chance of a couple rain showers or a couple of thunderstorms. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
All Buckeyes, all the time. You are listening to The Buckeye Show.
So a little bit of news this week around Jeremiah Smith as we're into the spring season. We're obviously into transfer portal season, if you will, even though the window closed. And he said, oh, yeah, I could have gone if I wanted to, but I'm a Buckeye through and through. I'm Matt Fontana. He's Patrick Murphy right here on the Buckeye Show, presented by our great friends at CareSource. So Jeremiah sat down with Chris Lowe on 3 and did a podcast, and the conversation turned to, you know, hey, if you would have left, I don't even think the conversation turned that way. It was just a discussion point that got brought up. Jeremiah probably, you know, pretty matter of fact, he sits there and he goes, I could have made $10 million if I'd have gone on the transfer portal. Now, I say make in general, Murph, because he's obviously getting paid very well by the Buckeyes, and it's not like he's making no money here and he'd make $10 million going somewhere else. But I'm assuming that would have been a little bit of a pay raise. But I loved how Jeremiah put it. He goes, that's not how I operate. He goes, that's basically not what I'm here for. And I would imagine, even if, you know, I was talking to Justin Zwick about this week, too. You know, Murph, Jeremiah could go to any school. He could sit out the year, and he would still be a top three pick in the NFL draft next year. That's how good he is. That's how good he's going to be in the NFL. So, like, for him, knowing what his future holds for him, to say, I'm sticking through here, I'm getting the development here, and I think he's got a lot of unfinished business. I understand he's a national champion. He wants to win that Biletnikoff. Should have won it either one of the years that he got snubbed on it. I think that's pretty high on his list to do this season. He sees the returning talent on this offense that he's comfortable with. I knew Arthur Smith's coming in, so a little bit of a change there. But he's got plenty of players around him. So that's for a young man to sit there and say $10 million. And again, I know he's making millions at Ohio State, but still, that's some power to sit there and say, I'm turning that down and I'm staying in Columbus.
There's two things, I think, here. The first being that the power of Ohio State and the way that they have recruited and developed and established this culture of, yeah, you guys are getting paid now, but just like it was before NIL, like the big money is coming down the road, and we will get you to that draft pick, and then you'll be ready for that next contract if you do all the things right and things like that. And guys like Jeremiah buy into this, and you know there's proof, right? Like, you don't have to look very far to see the wide receivers that and other positions as well. And I think it also speaks to Jeremiah and the kid that he is, like the ability of him to come in and play the role he did as a freshman and help the Buckeyes win a national championship and be the arguably the best receiver in college football. Like, that doesn't happen if you don't have a good head on your shoulders. Like, you can have all the talent in the world, we've seen plenty of guys, but if you don't handle things right and, you know, manage yourself, especially in today's day and age, and surround yourself with the right people, then you probably aren't going to get to your ceiling. And I think Jeremiah has done a really good job of all of that. And yeah, he could have chased the money last year before after his freshman season. He could have done it this past year. He talked with us when we talked to him last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever that was, about how, you know, there was a program that he wasn't surprised that pursued him. Everyone believes that was Miami, given who the Buckeyes played, where he's from, all that, and the way that they've thrown money at kids. So I think that's all speaks volumes about Jeremiah. I also think if you're looking at this from a non-Ohio State perspective, you're probably not doing your job if you are a program, especially a program like Miami, where he grew up down the street. Mm-hmm. If you're not at least trying back channels here and like,
oh yeah,
hey, any chance, you know, can we do this? This is the money we could throw at you. Like, you should be doing it. Now, like, technically it's against the rules, it's tampering and all that, but we know that's happening everywhere anyway. So I think it's great that Jeremiah did this. I think it's great that he talked about it, because a lot of guys keep this stuff really close to the vest, and we don't need to do that anymore. Like, you're allowed to talk about the fact that teams were going to pay you X amount of money. And I think that, you know, it just shines a light on A, what a guy like Jeremiah is worth, and then B, what the pull of Ohio State and what that can do for kids.
I also think, Murph, even for a team like Miami, who was just in the national championship, that still burns them
He
didn't go there. And I know that was a big talking point for that game against Ohio State, and it's viewed as a really big miss by Mario Cristobal that he's not a member of the Miami Hurricanes. And to your point, yeah, I would assume that they're going to try everything they can to rectify that situation and try to fix that, because it is kind of a stain on it. And again, they were just in the national championship. I understand they didn't win it, but still, you'd think they'd focus kind of more on that. But that's your job. It's like any GM in the NFL, which basically we all have GMs now in college. Their job is to pick up the phone. They don't always have to listen. They don't always have to sit there and say,
we'll consider this. You can pick it up, but that's your job, is to make those kind of phone calls and at least see where certain players are at.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, if it's not Miami, it should be USC trying to place Lemon, right? Or, you know, I'm just naming teams that I know, you know, have been good with wide receivers and whatnot. Texas and Alabama, like all of these schools should probably be exploring the opportunity of trying to get Jeremiah Smith, because you can do that now. There are ways to get a kid from one campus to another. I think if you're Ohio State, like, you've got to be trying to do this with other kids whatnot. And you know, I know Ryan Day and the Buckeyes are very, you know, they want to play by the rules and all that. But you've got to be at least on the same footing as everyone else. And so this didn't surprise me. I mean, the number's always big, right? And we're still at a point where, you know, the NIL stuff is so new that when you hear that much money for a college kid, it's still eye-opening. But with a kid like Jeremiah, I don't think it should be a surprise. I think it would be more surprising if this were, I don't know, pick a good but not great wide receiver, if someone was throwing that amount of money at him. Throwing that money at the best receiver, maybe the best player in college football, is probably money well worth spending. And Ohio State, like you said, Ohio State is paying Jeremiah. They had to guarantee that he stays, right? So it wasn't just like, hey, we'll bump your pay a little bit. Like, this probably affected his negotiations with Ohio State. And make no mistake about it, there were negotiations each year for not just him, for a lot of these guys.
All right, why don't you sneak in special teams real quick at spring ball, because obviously Joe McGuire returns as the punter, but a new kicker coming in with the transfer, Connor Hawkins. Murph, what have you seen from the special teams for the Buckeyes through the spring so far?
I like the bringing in Robbie Disher from Illinois to run the special teams. I know Ryan Day tried to make it sort of a collective coaching approach, and that didn't really change much. I think Disher, we talked to him today, there was a lot of good things. I think the focus of making special teams a weapon, which Ryan Day has said the past few years, and it just hasn't happened, is really going to be a thing this year. And, you know, I like Hawkins as a kicker. I went back and looked at some of his stuff at Baylor. Like, the kid has a leg. He's accurate. You know, coming off of Jaden Fielding, he got a lot of flack. Like, this is a kid who's made some big kicks. So I think the Buckeyes special teams is moving in the right direction. We've got to see it, because I've said this before in the offseason and it hasn't come to fruition. But from everything, you know, here in spring practice, I think things are going in the right direction.
Ohio State men's basketball going in the right direction. They pick up a big transfer today with Justin Pippen. No better person to talk to than Adam Jardy, Columbus Dispatch. He, of course, covers the men's basketball program. We'll talk to him next right here on the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
Experience Buckeye game day like never before. Welcome to the 1922 Club, the most exclusive space inside Ohio Stadium, where luxury meets tradition in the heart of Buckeye Nation. Enjoy upscale food and beverages and a game day atmosphere like no other. Create lasting memories with friends and mingling with other Buckeye fans, and celebrate every OHIO in ultimate comfort. Become a member of the 1922 Club today. Memberships are limited. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com.
Buckeye fans, this is for you. Level up with the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. You'll receive all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Ohio State sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off select gear at the Ohio State team shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeyes MVP membership for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to upgrade or join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Are we drinking the Scarlet Green with Skip Mossick?
Saturday, we'll talk Masters with PGA professional Paul Hollenbaugh. Plus, we'll head down to Augusta with SI.com's Bob Herrig.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick, Saturday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
Modern Office Methods, your authorized Ricoh dealer, can help your business optimize your print production with a competitive advantage. Our digital printing options will expand the type of paper and substrates from what your business can print on today. Add variable data capability, which allows for personalization of catalogs and mailers, and the ability for short-run label printing, which allows your business to print high volumes of custom labels quickly and on demand. Want to learn more? Start with a print assessment at momnet.com. Why risk it? You can count on Mom.
Cancer. For some, it's one of life's fiercest foes, but not at the James. While cancer hides, we hunt.
as a team like no other, giving patients access to the most advanced treatment options and sparking new hope. So if you just heard the words, "You have cancer," you should know this. We heard them too. And there's no better team in the nation to create a cancer-free world. The James at Ohio State.
Hosting a passionate crew of Buckeye fans? Revamp your rec room for an epic watch party with power reclining sofas, massaging recliners, entertainment centers, and coffee tables from Bob's. They even have sofas with drop-down tables for snacks and bevs. Shop in-store or online to score big on an incredible game day setup at Bob's Everyday Low Prices. Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
From the first whistle to the final play, being a Buckeye fan calls for commitment and support. Nature Made Vitamins are your winning play. From the number one pharmacist recommended vitamin and supplement brand, Nature Made is made to care for fans on game day and every day. So you can go all in on big wins, tough losses, and still show up for your team every time. Nature Made, proud vitamin and supplement sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and 32-ounce Yingling drafts for only $4. Social media can be a cesspool. Allow us to navigate the waters. Hashtag Buckeyes.
Sponsored by the Waterworks. Call the plumbing, heating, and cooling technicians at the Waterworks and Header today. Call 614-232-2222. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
So we'll turn it a little bit differently when it comes to Hashtag Buckeyes. Matt Fontana, Patrick Murphy, Jacob Reimer with you here tonight on the Buckeye Show. Murph, it's just funny. You said in our group text that there's, listen, message boards in college football are a special, I'm going to say that loosely as a term, special place. Because they can get weird, they can get a little crazy. But it's like, now Indiana, like, the fact, are they going to be able to handle themselves? There were comments on Indiana threads that they'd have thought Fernando Mendoza was a system quarterback, and he wasn't all that good. And that the guy taking over for him is going to be a lot better off, and Josh Hoover is going to be a lot better. I mean, I guess just Indiana doesn't know how to handle themselves because they haven't had to care about their football program for 30 years. So they don't know what they're doing over there anymore.
Look, and I say this with all respect to the Indiana fans that I know, including Stefan Kreischnick, who comes on this show, and a buddy I went to high school with. But Indiana fans are as crazy as Ohio State fans. You just haven't had to hear from them. And I'm talking right. Football or basketball. Right. Haven't had to hear from them in so long. Like, if they can maintain success in football, or if they can get back to what they used to be in basketball, in this day and age, like, people out, you know, fans outside of their fan base are going to be as sick of them as people outside of Columbus and Buckeye Nation are of Ohio State fans. Like, the Hoosier, like,
yeah.
I know people hate OHIO. You're going to hate that if that starts being a thing all around one of these or both sports. So I'm not surprised. I just thought it was funny that you know, Fernando Mendoza, the Heisman Trophy winner who leads you to a national championship, is not as good as the next guy coming. And I get being excited about the next guy, right? But at the same time, I think there needs to be some level of realism. And look, Kurt Cignetti has proven that, like Ryan Day, like, you can put a talented quarterback in there and you're going to have success, right? And so I think that's probably what this was trying to get at, is like, this is, you know, the next guy in the Kurt Cignetti quarterback system. But at the same time, I don't think you should just dismiss a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback when you haven't had one of those before.
And especially, like you said about Indiana, they're kind of pent up because they haven't had a lot to talk about or haven't had a lot of ground to stand on for years, and here they are. And I want to be respectful, because I'm also like, hey, you know what? Good for you guys. Here you are,
yeah.
And you're back up. But I'm also like, it's only been 2 years. Like, let's just see where it goes from here. And like, I like Kirk Cignetti, and I think he's a funny story and all that. Okay, you had a meteoric rise. Can you stay up to this level? And by the way,
I hope they do. I think it's good for the conference. And it's going to frankly be boring if it's for the next 5 to 10 years. I say this relative as an Ohio State fan, if it's just Ohio State and Oregon just competing. Like, I'd like some new blood in here. I'd like to get some new people into the playoff, whatever that playoff might be, in a couple of years. So I think it adds some intrigue. And again, you would think that, you know, the bigger conversation, I think, even Murph, about the Big Ten, right? You know Ohio State was going to be a power. You know Oregon's going to be a power. But, like, okay, I don't know what's going on with Michigan, and yep, I don't know where they're going.
Their basketball school.
Yeah, their basketball school.
Their basketball school now.
Trey McKinney's coming back.
Very, 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 very true. You know, the Kyle Whittingham thing, and, you know, Penn State. Yeah, it's Whittingham, right? At Penn State, right?
No, that, Whittingham's at Michigan.
Oh, no, that's right. Iowa State. That's right.
Dillingham is at Penn State, right?
No,
it's Matt Campbell.
Matt Campbell.
It's Matt Campbell.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, I missed.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm off. Yeah. I'm way off.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Dillingham State. I think he stayed at Arizona, didn't he?
Yes, that's right. I was flip-flopping Arizona State and Iowa State's coach.
No, that's right. And I got messed up because I was like, Whittingham left. I'm like, did he go to Penn State? Oh, that's right. No, he went to Michigan. But now Matt Campbell is in Penn State, and I think Matt Campbell is a really good coach, but there's also, like, I think you got to pay the piper sometimes when you have to reset some things, and I don't think they're going to be super, super competitive. I might be wrong. We'll see. USC has not been at all what you thought they were going to be. UCLA is not, and again, another basketball school, but they used to be good at football. But you don't even have your Wisconsins that are good right now. You don't even have any other teams. You're randomly Illinois and Brett Bielema trying. But I guess my whole point is, like, in a grand scheme, there was an opening for some other team to step up and take a bite out of this for the Big Ten. And good for them. It's Indiana because it's some fresh blood in this whole thing, and it allows them to stay relevant, make a little bit of more money. That's good for the conference.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there's all this talk, and I know at CBS Sports we had a story come out the other day about talking to players at the Combine about the Big Ten versus the SEC and all that, and that's been a big topic of conversation. The way that the Big Ten really cements itself as the new dominant conference isn't just winning these national championships. It's having multiple teams do it, which they obviously have, and then having those other teams, and Indiana falls in this category, elevate so that the conference competition is elite, and it's not just one or two teams every year, to your point, Matt. So if other teams can follow the Indiana blueprint and, you know, not necessarily win the national championship, but put the resources in and become more competitive in football. And I'm looking at teams like Rutgers, Maryland, you know, I won't say Purdue, but those type of teams, I think that's where this conference really, you know, you elevate the middle or the bottom. And now it's, instead of like you're top heavy, you're a balanced conference like the SEC was for a long time.
I mean, hey, we've played Ohio State's played Northwestern in some Big Ten championships.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, that's one.
Shout out to the East versus West divisions.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, now that does have a little bit to do with the divisions.
Would you maybe give Northwestern a little bit of momentum, though, with the new stadium coming? They got Chip Kelly now.
Like, that's the type of investment that you need to, in this day and age. You know, we talk about NIL and revenue sharing and all that, but you need to have still some of that stuff, right? When kids come to visit, they want to see this brand new stadium right on the water and all that stuff. So you have to have it all if you're going to be competitive at that high level.
Or playing games in Wrigley Field.
Yeah, that helps too.
That was cool. My buddy went to that game. He said it was a lot of
fun. Yeah, it was great.
He said it was really cool.
Except their press box was really hot.
Oh, was it? Wasn't it a really cold day, though?
Wasn't
it was, snowing?
Yes. But they apparently they can, it's like, either the heat's on or the heat's off, or the air conditioning's on or the air conditioning's off. But they did have ice cream.
I can only imagine that press box never get the heater turned on too either, right? Like, they're playing baseball in the summer. Right. I guess early season Chicago, it's pretty cold there too. You know, and the other one is, we're talking about that, Pat Fitzgerald's up in Michigan State now too. Mm-hmm. Like, he could be that turnaround and that flip. It gives the conference that legitimacy too, where when people are complaining, oh my gosh, five teams from the Big Ten made the playoff. Yeah, because they're that good. Because they played good player or good teams in their own conference, and they deserve to be there. It helps everybody when it comes to that. Boys, had a lot of fun tonight. I would say enjoy the golf this weekend, but Rory's just going to walk his way up Magnolia Lane to another green jacket. But enjoy your weekend. This has been the Buckeye Show right here on The Fan.
The two most mature people working at the radio station.
And that's just because they wear pants.
Pervert and the Skibbies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.